I'm CB and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, CB.
I only have like 2 minutes to be nervous because I just volunteered myself 2 minutes ago, so this is better than usual. I always say this before I speak. I just want to ask for my higher power to speak through me so that my ego doesn't get in the way. So I'll just try to be like the funny person or the really profound person. I just want to like share my message. My sobriety date is October 8th, 2011. I have a sponsor who's been through the 12 steps. I have been through the 12 steps. I am taking someone else through the 12 steps. I don't have a home group at the moment, which I don't suggest. I'm currently trying to find one. It's not that hard. I'm just, whatever. I need to get a home.
Okay. So something else that I always do when I speak is just, I was always told when you're an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting to make sure you tell everyone in the room an alcoholic is in case somebody doesn't know. So an alcoholic is somebody who might be like a threefold illness. It's mental, physical, and spiritual. And like the mental, for me, that's like the most relatable part is like the mental obsession, that there's two parts of the mental obsession, right? That when I stop, it's all I can think about, but then I also have this like reoccurring thought that like maybe this time it's not going to end up as bad as it happened last time, right? Like maybe this time I won't get into trouble, maybe this time I won't hurt people's feelings. And then there's like the physical allergy, right? Which is that once I put it into my body, I can't stop. And someone explained this to me like really well, like I don't like, you know, have a sip of water and like, oh no, I can't stop. You know, like I can drink like a cup of water and I'm good. I know I just said sip and cup, which is different, but you know, like that I put one into my body and I can't stop. And like the spiritual malady, I usually like speak with my dick open so I can look at things. But it's like for me what it was explained was that it's the bedevilments, right? That stuff happens to me when I put down the drink, right? That I'm like completely involved in self. I am terrified of everything. I mess up everything. And for me, it's just like that gaping hole that like I very much tried to fill with alcohol. And it worked sometimes and then it didn't work other times. And like those three things is what I was taught is what make up the alcoholic. And something just really cool that was pointed out to me that I like is that it says in the doctor's opinion that like the physical craving that we have like never happens to a normal drinker. You know, never. It doesn't say like not always, it never happens to a normal drinker. So if it's happening for you, you know. Okay, so what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today. I grew up in a dysfunctional home who has nothing to do with my alcoholism, just part of my story. And I also just want to say this, that like I was taught like when I came in to try to identify with like the feelings, not necessarily the story. We all have different stories. My brother has a pretty similar story to me. He's not an alcoholic, you know, so what happened to me doesn't need to have happened to you. But I just share it because it's my story. So yeah, I grew up in a home. We had like an open door policy to junkies in my house. My parents were helping them. They stayed in our basement. Yeah, so that was fun. They were my babysitters. I as a little kid, we had religious situations where we were allowed to have alcohol. It didn't matter how old you were. And I remember, as I was just thinking about this when I was talking with my sponsor, like I remember as a little kid, I would get like, you know, like this much wine, which my dad like called soda because I don't know why, but he called it soda. So I thought like liquor was like whiskey and vodka, and wine was not liquor, it was soda. So I remember like as a little kid, I was allowed to have a little bit. When you have a little bit and you're a little kid, you get intoxicated, it's just how it is. And I remember just always asking for more. Like I didn't know what it was, I didn't know whatever, but like as soon as like the wine came out and it got poured for everybody, I was like 5, 6 years old, being like, please can I have more, please, please. I'm like, okay, fine, you can have a little bit more. I'm like, please can I just have a little bit more? And I'm like, okay, fine, I can have a little bit more. And then you know, and then I would wait till the next day, Friday and Saturday was a little ritual, and then Saturday I got to have a little bit and a little bit more and then a little bit more. But I didn't like think about it during the week. Like it wasn't something that I thought about, like, ooh, Friday I'm gonna have this. Like it just on Friday when it came out, I really, really wanted it. Right, and I remember like as a little kid always just feeling like so flipping uncomfortable. Like, I just felt like everybody knew what the hell they were doing, and I was either like one step behind or one step ahead. Like, just always off, like off the mark. Like, everybody was like going to class, and I was like still at the water fountain. Like, just so like not able to keep up. And I like didn't have the words for this, but like I really felt like everybody got like the guide to life, and like somebody forgot to give it to me. You know, like somebody's like, nah, she doesn't need it. It was just like a struggle, right? And it didn't, all, I just want to like make it clear that anything I say now, I did not have the words for before I got sober. I've only learned like feelings and things like now. I didn't know how to like express what I was expressing when I, you know, had to be sober. I was just like, you know? So, right, I'm really uncomfortable. I think nobody likes me. Right, everywhere I go, I sincerely believe that like everybody's looking at me, they're pointing at me, they're laughing at me, and it's extremely uncomfortable to live like that. Right, like every time I go into the classroom, I think it's like all on me to make this a good class. Right, so I was like a class clown because I felt like that was my job, I also just felt like if I made myself like the center of attention, like nobody would know how like deeply terrified I was of that. You know. I was super miserable, I was in, like, 8th grade, so I was, you know, I was giving alcohol by my parents, got intoxicated many times as a kid, and then I remember in 8th grade, one morning, I just woke up, I was, like, super thirsty, and I went into the fridge, and I wanted something sweet, so I got the soda, and I just, like, guzzled from the bottle, which was totally normal, right? Like, my first time doing it on my own, just, like, took the bottle of wine and just drank as much as I could. And I remember, like, right, like, I always felt like, I've never been surfing, but I imagine, like, wearing a wetsuit must be really uncomfortable, and that's just how I felt, that my skin was that wetsuit, right? That it was just, like, too tight. Like, everything was just too tight, and I was just, like, always just felt like I need to not be this, like I need to be doing something else, like always need to be distracted. I couldn't just like be present with CD, right? And I remember, so I like guzzled down this wine, and like I used to walk to school, and like by the time I got like a block away, I was completely drunk, like intoxicated, right? And I just remember this feeling of like, I can breathe. Right, like, wow, like, I don't care what the teachers think of me. I don't care if I get in trouble today, because I've always freaking got in trouble. I started being like, wow, like that, like, you know, I mean, you guys know, right? That, like, and I just started not giving a crap. And I remember, like, I had no idea that I was feeling like that because I just drank this wine. I thought I magically just got presented with this feeling. And I was like, I want to feel like this forever. Just, like, not having any worries, no cares, no nothing. Just, like, I can be CD right now. That was, like, the first thing. And after, like, 8th grade, I, you know, I wanted to, like, escape my horrible family. And I decided to run away from home because I thought that would be great. I also just wanted to, like, not that my parents would stop me, but I wanted to use the way that I wanted to use, and I wanted to drink the way I wanted to drink. And, so I ran away from home. And, like, naturally, like, 13-year-old little chick in the streets is, like, totally way worse than home. And I, like, really, really sincerely despised myself. And I just could not stand being me, and I did everything I could to get out of me. And I didn't, like, see a problem with it. Like, I remember I was hanging out with these girls, and we were getting drunk, and one of the girls, like, looked at me, and she's like, isn't this fun? And I was just like, you're not just, like, doing this so you can breathe? Like, I was so confused. Like, I didn't say that out loud, obviously. I was like, yeah, this is so much fun. But, like, in my head, I was, like, highly confused. Like, aren't you just doing this to function, right? And that's, like, at 14. And I was just like, okay, whatever, I guess we're different strokes for different folks. So I was homeless, if you guys didn't get that part. I chased anything, right, to get out of CD, so I didn't have to experience being CD in this, because being me, right, untreated alcoholism was, like, flipping horrible. Like, there was just just so much noise in my head all the time, and just impossible to breathe. So that was going on, and I had like many situations that it talks about in like the doctor's opinion. I at one point I had this like really, really, really rich family take me in off the street. They took me in off the street and they sat me down the first night and they're like, "See, you cannot get intoxicated while you're living under our roof." And I was like, "No problem, guys. Like, got you. I don't have a problem. It's just gonna be fine." Right? And then the mom came to me like later that night and she's like, "See, just don't drink a lot." And I was like, "Oh, perfect. Like, I'll just go drink a little." Right? So I lasted like 3 weeks and I went to go drink a little, right? Just to get like the edge off. I had to go like do some like family therapy thing, and I hadn't seen my parents in who knows how long, and I had no desire to go to family therapy. So I just wanted to like ease myself in. And then like next thing I know, I'm like on the floor somewhere. I think I made it to the building where the therapy was, but I was on the floor completely intoxicated, and then I got taken to the hospital. They had alcohol poisoning, and actually I got kicked out. Right, but like the thought process that went through my head when it happened was like, wow. Right, like everybody hates me. They kicked me out into the street. What horrible people! How could you do such a thing? Right? No part of me like thought like maybe I shouldn't have drank. Right? Like I was just like the world must be out to get me. Right? And I had another family took me in, and I did some other crap at their house, and they kicked me out. And I just had many situations where I didn't know that I was like in the grips of alcohol. I didn't know that alcohol was my master. I really believed like, so I could stop, I just don't want to. I remember like I was at like a teen drop-in center and they were like, "Okay, CB, please don't drink tonight." And I was like, "You guys like make it sound like I'm an alcoholic. Like, I'm not gonna drink tonight, relax. Like, it's a Tuesday night, you know?" It was like this wedding, and I went to the wedding and I saw someone I didn't like, and I drank. And I really went with every intention of not drinking. I firmly believed when I told them I wasn't going to drink that I wasn't going to drink. And when I got there, I thought that I just, like, changed my mind. I had no idea that alcohol was changing my mind for me, that before I even got places, that alcohol was like, right? Because I just didn't know, because I wasn't presented with the facts. I hadn't heard anybody's message. I got sent to this drug group from my high school. And I remember the counselor, we all used to get in talks. We had like 15 minutes between classes ending and this group counseling thing. So we'd all get things into our system before the group, and then we'd go to the group. And I remember one time the counselor said, "Who here wants to get sober one day?" And I was like, disgusted that he would even ask a question like that, right? And I'm assuming because we all just did what we did, like everyone's going to have the same answer as me, right? And he starts like going around, and like each girl is like, "Oh, when I get married," I'm like, "You're 15, what are you talking about?" Right? They're all like going around saying, "When this happens," and I like was getting angrier, and he gets up to me and I just yelled at him and I was like, "Why would I stop doing the one thing that makes me feel good? Like, please tell me the rationale to your freaking question. Like, what on earth, you know? Like, you're so upset, like just like how dare you ask such a question?" And I completely did not understand why he would, right? And I was like, "You clearly never drank, because if you did, you wouldn't ask me if I wanted to stop." You know? Like, you don't know how good it is. And at that point in my life, I never met anyone who drank and stopped. I met the losers who never touched anything. And people like me who were drinking and using the way I did. I didn't know there was such a thing as, like, being the way I was, and then for some god-awful reason, stop. Right? So at 16, I finally, like, I had people telling me for a while, like, why don't we go into a shelter? I was like, I need my freedom, which is ridiculous. I was like a baby. But I finally went to the shelter, and they had a rule of no drinking or getting high. And I really wanted to be there because I was really beaten down, you know. So I tried, and I just share this because it's part of the story. Important, but I got into like another addiction with an eating disorder, and I almost died from that, but it kept me from doing that, right? Because I still got my relief. I still got my like I can breathe, this is okay, I can do this. Eventually though, I picked up again. But
So this shelter was like a really small shelter. They took us on this retreat. Okay, thank you. And I didn't know this, but there was like people in recovery on this retreat. And I still have no idea what I spoke about, but there was this random girl in the hallway, and I was for some odd reason talking to her, and she suggested that I go to a meeting tonight at this retreat. So I thought that a meeting was like a social gathering where people come and hang out, and we're gonna like, she didn't say AA meeting, she just said meeting. So I thought it was gonna be a bunch of like the cool kids, you know, sitting around like playing pool, smoking hookah, something like that. So I go to my counselor, and she knew what it was, and I was like, can I go? Can I get like curfew? She was like, yeah, of course. And I was like, wow, she took that very well. And I go into the room, and mind you, this room in the hotel was like a condemned room in the hotel. Like, no one was supposed to be in there. So it was already like a little weird. I was like, they're probably real bad kids. Like, this is going to be great. And I go in, and there's a circle of chairs. And I was like, okay, this is weird. And there's like nothing, right? Just chairs. And I didn't know, but I was sitting down next to the speaker, and she starts like sharing and like telling a room full of people how she tried killing herself and about her feelings and how horrible she felt. I'm like sitting there like this, like, oh my god, what are you doing? Like, you're in a room full of strangers. Why are you sharing this information? You know, like, where I came from, you don't do that. You don't do that in the street, you're gonna get in trouble. You just are fine all the time, right? And I was like, maybe like the rest of this group is gonna like salvage this interaction thing going on, right? But it's a meeting. So everyone starts sharing, like, yeah, I totally relate. And I was like, oh my god, what am I gonna get myself into? I was really freaking out. But at the same time, right, like there was something that they were talking about that like really shook me, because they were explaining these things that I had never expressed out loud, right? I was fully convinced that I was just psychotic when I came into the room. So I had no idea that I had, you know, the disease of alcoholism. I also have other issues, but like I had no idea. I really just thought I was crazy. Like, how do you keep messing up everything good in your life, right? Like, how do you keep hurting the people that care about you? Like, you're just nuts, right? And people were talking about things that, like, they were talking about alcoholism, and I was like, oh my god, how did I know what was going on in my mind? Like, talking about the mental obsession, talking about all these different things, and I was like blown away. And I left that meeting thinking three things. I was like fully convinced everybody was tripping acid. I did not get the whole sober thing, because they were all talking about like God and God's love and God's hugs. I was like tripping out on acid, which was attractive to me, because I was like, I can chill with these people. This can be fun, right? I also like definitely thought it was a cult, because I'd never heard of AA in my life. And they were all like saying the same thing, and we like stood in prayer together after, which was really creepy. But then I also like, there was something in me that was like, how do these people know what's going on inside of me, right? I don't want to ever go over time, so I'm gonna do my best. Okay, so right, so I start going to meetings because someone told me like, come to my anniversary. I thought it was his wedding anniversary. I still freaking went, and it obviously wasn't. And just to like give an image of like what I was like when I came in, I was definitely like, you know the term mocus, like messed up and out of focus, like way mocus. I could not carry a conversation. Like I would walk over to people and be like, hi, my name is, and then like think I finished the conversation, so I'd walk away and start talking to the next person. I was really delusional. I was just homeless. It messed with my head. Did a lot of things besides alcohol, messed with my head. And I was just crazy and just like so, you know, just nuts. And I also like hadn't touched any substances for a while because I was in the shelter, and then I picked up again for one night, thank God, and my sobriety is the next day, right? So they told me to get a sponsor. They said like a sponsor should be like someone that has what you want, that's been through the work, right? So like I saw this one woman who was so flippin' happy, like so like, hi, how are you? Oh my god, what's up? Oh my god, so good to see you. And I was like, bleh. Like, oh my god. Like, he was so freaking nauseous, right? And like, going home, like, I want to kill this person. I'm like, why should I want to kill this person that I don't know? And like, she has what I'm never going to get. I know that I'm never going to be happy, and that this is never going to happen for me. So screw her, right? So I asked her to be my sponsor. And It was just all very strange to me to be talking to people about things other than, like, no, just to be talking in general, but also about, like, real situations, right? Like, what's actually going on, and not just being like, I'm good, everything's great. I did lie to her for the first 6 months and tell her I was fine all the time. But my reality was, like, every morning sober at the beginning, I woke up wanting to die, right? Like, not having that relief was just so horrendous, and I just wanted to die. And I attempted suicide when I was out there, and both times that I attempted suicide was both attempts at getting sober, right? The first time, I was like, all right, I'm doing this, I'm getting sober. And, like, within, like, 6 hours, I was like, there's no freaking way. Like, there's no way that I can do this sober. So I was like, I might as well kill myself. And thank God it didn't work. Sorry, that's not funny. It's, I don't think it's funny. It was very sad, but I... Okay. I was clearly nervous. But anyways, right, so I started working with her. It was, like, very easy to see that, like, my life was unmanageable. Like, no one else at my age I knew was homeless. They all could carry conversations. They did not, like, punch walls and bite people when they were upset, you know? Like, that was okay, yeah, but, like, the whole, like, powerless piece was, like, I don't know about all that. You know, I got myself places to sleep. I got myself a shower. Like, I don't know if I'm really powerless. I'm not really understanding if it has to do with alcohol. And I also, right, still believe that all those times that I drank, I chose to drink, right? I didn't know that, like, alcohol was making that decision for me. Eventually, I realized, we got up to the second step. I was like, there's no freaking way. I'm not doing this. There's no God. And, like, someone just told me to just draw a picture of what I, and this has evolved, like, over time. This is when I was really new and really nuts. Like, draw a picture of what you want your higher power to look like. I drew, like, a really big head because it has to have, like, a big brain, and I drew, like, three hands, and I wrote times a million, and wrote 3 feet, wrote times a million, and it was, like, a Humpty Dumpty looking gumball machine kind of thing. Like, that was my higher power. And, like, all my prayers started off, like, hey, I've been sitting in the room in the shelter, and I'm like, hey, I feel like I'm schizophrenic, and I'm talking to myself, but my sponsor told me to do this, so I'm doing this. Please keep me sober. Okay. That was it. Those are my prayers. And over time, like, it hasn't really changed. Well, I really do feel connected today when I cry. And I just, for me, it's just, like, I just talk about what's, like, going on. I pray for other people in the morning because that's super helpful. And I just, like, talk. Sometimes my higher power's name is dude. Sometimes it's homie. Like, it doesn't really matter. I'm just like, hey, dude, what's up? Like, it's me. It's what's going on. Thanks for waking me up. You know, all that. Right? So I really love going through all the steps, but I don't have enough time. I don't want to take up your guys' time. I also forgot to tell you guys, I wasn't supposed to speak. I was supposed to come listen to the speaker, go meet with my sponsor. I still have to meet with my sponsor, so I'm leaving right after. I have 2 minutes. Okay. So I worked the steps, right? I had crazy, amazing, beautiful experiences. I think one of my most profound experiences was doing my 4-step, right? I have a lot of abuse in my story, and I told my sponsor, all excited, and I'm like, you guys are gonna have to rewrite this 4-step thing. I don't have any mistakes in this column for this situation. And what she told me was, like, you know, it's like 10 years later, and you're still acting like a little a-hole, you know? And I was like, what? And what that showed to me, right, is that, like, it's not necessarily about what I do in that moment, right, with resentment. It's about how do I respond after that. I have a choice after someone hurts me, after someone's nasty to me on the subway or touches me on the subway, right, whatever it is, I have a choice. Do I, like, sit in it and feel sorry for myself and treat the next person that I meet like crap? Or do I, like, say a prayer, call somebody newer than me, ask somebody how they're doing, right? And it was, like, mind-blowing to me, right, because I was the epitome of victim when I came in. I was like, nobody's been homeless as long as I have. Right. Right? Like, nobody knows how hard my life is. Just, like, so, like, you know, and I wasn't trying to be unique. I just, 30 seconds. Really, like, just didn't believe that people, that working the steps, praying, going to meetings and helping other people was going to do anything for me. Because I was in so much pain when I got here and most of my life. But I can tell you, like, now, right, what my life looks like now, in short. Okay, 9 seconds. I don't wake up anymore wishing that I was dead. And, like, I wake up, like, 90% of the time, like, pretty content with my life. I have real relationships with people that I'm honest with and that are honest with me, I think,
most of the time.
And I like really enjoy my life. Like I really enjoy living. I'm also not homeless anymore, which took a few years into sobriety, but it's okay, everybody has their own path. Like 100% my life is beyond my wildest dreams. My biggest dream when I came in was like being happy for 10 minutes in a row. I was like, if that can happen, that would be like A1, you know? And it is like definitely surpassed like all of that. And I also don't know, just with this, I'm sorry for going over time. I have like a peace inside of me today that I never like knew was possible. I told you guys that like, my mind was yelling at me like all the time, and like that doesn't really happen anymore. And like most of the time, like my mind is pretty quiet, and it's like insane. I never thought that like that could be, and it could happen for all of you.